Hey, are you looking for a hole-in-one when it comes to your bathtub shower remodel? Stay on the green, sports fan. Bathfitter will install your tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is an ace. Special financing available, no money down, no payments for 5 years. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverSports.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverSports.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
Bruce D. Assemble!
Actually, it's pronounced Dutchendorf.
Dutchendorf.
Dutchendorf. Thank you for the help there, texters.
There's only
Henry John Dutchendorf.
Oh.
But it's spelled like Dutchendorf, but it's Dutchendorf.
There's only two things that I don't tolerate.
Oh, only two?
Only two.
Okay.
People who are intolerant of the people's cultures and the Dutch.
What? What's the problem? What's your problem with the Dutch?
Small hands.
Small hands.
Garnies.
Wooden shoes.
Garnies. Wooden shoes.
Nobody, oh, boy.
Nobody likes the Dutch.
This has been...
Nobody likes
I'm going to be exhausted when this show is over. This has been like riding a bucking bronco for 2+ hours. Joel Klatt will join us coming up here in about 7 minutes. Let's get to it here. Broncos Raiders grades. Presented by Andrew Mason. Here are some of the grades he gave out. You tell me if you agree with them or not. He gives the offense, an overall grade of... What do you think Mace's overall grade was for the offense, Mark?
I'm going to say a B+.
He gave him a B.
B.
An average of 2.7 points per non-kneel down possession will get it done most days. So we're really hanging our hat on that one, huh? The whole... points per possession stat. Pay no attention to the fact that they only scored 16 points. Pay all the attention to points per precious possession.
Believe in it.
Yeah, get a couple more possessions if your defense can go off the field and you win that game.
All right.
Okay.
Overall grade for the defense. What do you think he gave them?
Oh, the defense. I'm going to say they shut down the run game. They pretty much shut down... Adams, but they couldn't get to the quarterback. They couldn't get a stop in the fourth quarter. I'm going to say a C-.
Boom! Nailed it. And folks, I promise you, Mark has not looked at this.
Look at my computer.
I didn't open it yet today.
Not open.
Okay. So
I don't need no computer. I got notes in my head, Johnny.
That's good. That's
notes in my head.
Overall grade Mace gave out for the special teams.
Oh, you got to give them...
So you had the onside kick.
Uh-huh.
You had the missed field goal, the missed extra point.
Not good.
The coverage teams were good, though, right? They were okay. We'll give them a D.
Boom! Nailed that one, too!
Brilliant!
What else do you need to know?
I don't need to know anything more. You nailed it.
I did nail it.
You nailed it. Check out all of Mace's grades. He broke it down a little bit more within each...
Yeah,
you know, within the offense, within the defense, you can check all that out at DenverSports.com. Shedeur Sanders draft status. Mel Kiper weighing in. Jake Shapiro writing about it.
Uh-huh.
What do you think Shedeur Sanders' draft slot would be if he came out this year?
He doesn't get to come out this year, right? He'd be top 10. Now, Mel may have him in the bottom half of the first round.
I think he could come out. Yeah, this year if he wanted to.
Okay, Mel might have him in the bottom half of the first round, but he'll be a top 10. He's better than he throws the ball. He's better than the kid. Now, he's not, you know, the size and speed of the kid that Indianapolis took. What was that kid? Anthony Richardson?
Anthony Richardson from Florida.
He's a way better quarterback. Way better.
I'm looking forward to asking Joel about Shedeur Sanders here in a bit.
Way better.
So Mel Wright writes, Shedeur Sanders to me right now is a guaranteed high first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
If he were to stay at CU and come out after next season, he would be Caleb Williams. He would be the number one overall pick.
I see that. I can see it. But even if Caleb Williams is a sure thing to be the number one overall pick, Shadur would be maybe the number two.
Well, would he go ahead of Drake May, the kid from North Carolina?
Yes.
Would he?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to
I've never even seen Drake May play, but I'm just saying he's from North Carolina. Give me a North Carolina quarterback that was worth a salt.
Uh-oh.
Any North Carolina quarterback?
Does Drake May have the stank of Mitch Trubisky on him right now? Is that what you're saying?
Give me a North Carolina quarterback who's worth anyone.
I can't. Anyone? I can't.
Anyone?
I can't.
No, you can't. You're right.
North Carolina? No.
Can't do it.
Nope. North Carolina State?
Philip Rivers. He won a lot of championships.
That'll do it for the DenverSports.com front page. Check that all out at DenverSports.com. Time now to welcome in our pal Joel Klatt for his weekly visit. He is presented by Audi Flatirons. And Joel, I have to ask you this question right off. Just if you can, put into words what the emotions were like, what it was like Saturday calling a Buffs win over Nebraska in front of the largest television audience of the weekend.
Yeah, it was, it's hard to explain the emotions that I was feeling because that's the game of my youth. There's really three things in this business that I would call like real bucket list items at this point in my career. That was one of them, calling a Colorado-Nebraska game, just because it's the most special game in my heart, certainly. I would love to call a Rose Bowl. I'd love to call a national championship. That's kind of the only two things left, to be honest with you. And then, you know, not just calling the game, but in the middle of that environment, that was as good of an environment as I've seen at Folsom, maybe ever, maybe second only to the 2001 Nebraska game, the 62-36 game. So it was emotional, although, you know, and as Mark will relate to this, you know, when you're calling a game, you get enthralled with the technical aspects of calling it, and it almost doesn't matter who the two teams are, and you're trying to kind of play it down the middle or at least as best you can. And so it didn't really hit me until the end when I saw the emotion on the fan base. And I saw, you know, the kids pouring out onto the field. That's when it really hit me, kind of the special nature of what I had just witnessed and been a part of.
Being at CU, doing the meetings, meeting with Sanders, you know, we've been talking, Mike and I have been talking. What sets him apart? Why? Like, what is it about Deion Sanders that has made him, I mean, maybe the most popular man in America right now? What is it about him?
I mean, it's a good question. First of all, he is by far the most enthralling, engaging coach to meet with on a Friday that I've ever met with. I always use this term. He is the sun. He's his own gravitational pull. His opinions are unique. His passion is unique. It's there. He talks about the players glowingly, all of them, and how much he loves them. He talks about their backstories as people. He talks about his own, you know, leg issues. And he gave a line that we didn't even get to on the broadcast. It was, I was like enthralled with this line. He said, because Gus asked him, he's like, man, you were one of the best, if not the best athlete of all time, you know, playing two sports on one day at the professional level. What set you apart was your feet and your speed. We had never seen anything like it. Now, all of a sudden, do you ever ask yourself, why me, about the issues that you're having with your leg? You can almost barely stand up for the whole game. And he looked at Gus like Gus was crazy, and he said, well, if I'm going to ask why me about that, don't I have to ask him why me about all the other blessings in my life? Why me? I get this opportunity. Why me? I've got this great family. Why me? You know, I've had this great career. Why me? I've got this opportunity to influence and mentor kids. And I'm just sitting there like, he really believes that. This is not a line. And then he drops the hammer, and he says, I may not have my mobility, but I have my ability. and he points to his mouth. And that's when I realized, like, this guy is totally different. When he speaks to the team, they are totally bought in. It's the most enthralling meeting I've ever been in. And enthralling is the only word that I can possibly, you know, come up with. I've thought about, you know, what is it? Is it interesting? Is it dynamic? Is it electric? And it's just enthralling. There's nothing you can do but be completely engaged and bought in with what he's talking about.
Can this team play with Oregon and USC and compete for the Pac-12 title?
I mean, we'll see. They do have real deficiencies, right? So this is as good as this start has been, and it's been better than anticipated, there's no doubt. And well over what Vegas certainly predicted from a line standpoint and from a wins and losses standpoint already. I think that you look at some of these matchups, and the unfortunate part for Colorado and this season is that they play in what has become the deepest conference in the country by a wide margin. Oregon's a really good football team, although they lost a game that they should have, or excuse me, they won a game that they should have lost last week in Lubbock, Texas. Can they play with them? Yes, as long as the game goes their direction. You know, if they have to play from behind and Oregon can run the football and control the game with their offense, I think it's going to be tough, in particular on the road. You look at USC and what USC has been doing, putting pressure on the opposing quarterback and playing aggressive up front, that could give you pause, in particular with some of the transfers that they've had on that defensive line, namely Bear Alexander, who's one of the better defensive players in the country, in particular on that defensive line. That could give you pause with what Nebraska did to them last week. Having said that, though, this team throws the ball on the perimeter like a premier college football team. And I guarantee you that those teams are way more nervous about those matchups now than they were 2 weeks ago. And now they're sitting there thinking to themselves, okay, Colorado just played awful. I know that that's a bit hyperbolic, but they did. They played awful and won going away from Nebraska. There's a scenario where Colorado wins that game 52-7. Legitimately. Now, Nebraska was terrible. I mean, terrible. Can't catch a shotgun snap. What are we doing? Having said that, Colorado played a really poor game and won going away. That suggests that they are a really good team, because that's what good teams do, is they can not play their best and still win the game handily. So those games are certainly more up in the air. I do think USC is really good, and I don't want to put the cat out of the bag, but we are efforting doing that game again in Boulder. So hopefully I'm back.
That would be awesome. Hey, real quick, Mel Kiper has Shedeur Sanders ranked, if he comes out of the draft this year, as a very high first round pick. If he comes out next year, the number one overall pick. Just your assessment of Shedeur and what do you think about his prospects as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, they're legit. They're totally legit. I've always bottom lined it. You know, you guys have heard me say this all the time. When you really talk about quarterback play, you can talk about a lot of things, but the bottom line is the ball on target and on time? And it is with him. Now, he struggled a little bit more this last week, and he had a couple of things pop up in his game that I think he's going to need to correct, namely, he can't hold on to the ball in the pocket quite as long as he does. And in particular, in situations like third and goal from the one, you can't take a sack. That's an atrocious sack. You can't do that. Now, that's nitpicking, because everything else that he does is really good. Mark, his feet are calm in the pocket. He knows where he's looking and manipulates the defense. I call that controlling the game from the pocket. He's also much more elusive than you would think. While not a very fast player in a straight line 40, he eludes the rush and buys time as well as anyone. Certainly that's what we marvel at with a guy like Caleb Williams. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but boy, his touch and his accuracy are so good. And that's in large part what makes the wide receivers so dynamic, is that they're given the ball with a chance to make a play after the catch, because of what Shedeur does, again, on time and on target. There's not a doubt in my mind that if he came out after this year, he would be considered one of the best quarterbacks. the issue for him would be this class is a lot better than next year's class, a lot better. And I will say you are 1,000% wrong, Mark. Drake May is unbelievable. I've seen him live. I've seen him on tape.
Well, I've never seen him anywhere, but he's from North Carolina. So I have no idea.
I have no idea. I get it. He's from North Carolina. I understand that. And we got the ghost of Mitch Trubisky hanging over him and maybe even Sam Howell. But Drake May is legit, man. Like, legit. Kind of a baby Josh Allen. So I think Caleb's number one. Drake May, even Shador could play great. I still think Drake is going to be considered the number two quarterback. And then Michael Penix, you know, from Washington is also a guy that Shador would have to compete with. So now you're talking about, like, there's a bona fide, like, four guys that you could consider in the top 10. And as you know, there's always two or three teams with dire quarterback needs. But if you're considered the fourth guy, that's when you can slide, because those middle teams in the first round generally don't need a quarterback. And you're going to slide, and then you're waiting for someone to trade up possibly into the late teens or 20s, and you don't want to be that. If you look to next year, the only other guy that I can really think of at this point would be Penn State's quarterback, Drew Aller, who's starting for his first season this year and will be considered one of the best quarterbacks in the draft for next season. I think that's one of the reasons, along with the fact that Travis Hunter has to stay a year. He's already transferred once, and he can't go to the draft. And I think his dad, Deion, wants at least a second year, hopefully more, at Colorado. I think Shador would likely stay. Now, having said that, maybe that's just a hopeful alum hoping that the best quarterback to ever wear that uniform is going to play more games there.
Visit with Joel Klatt, our weekly visit with Joel, presented by Audi Flatirons. You know, you have plenty of Colorado football fans, the state of Colorado, saying we'd gladly trade Russell Wilson for Shador Sanders right now. You watched the game on Sunday. Mark was very bullish on the way Russ played. Maybe you want to make your point, Mark, before Joel can respond with his thoughts.
I just thought that you know what, they played a ton of soft shell. Anytime you got into a zebra package or a three wides package, ton of soft shell. Inviting you to throw it to the edges of the football field, inviting you to throw it underneath, really got great depth on everything. And, I mean, first half, he had one spike, and he was 17-19 with one spike. I mean, he delivered the football, like you talked about, on time and accurately underneath. And I thought that was things that I've seen in the past that him not do, take chances with the football. I thought that was great coaching, and I thought that was exactly executing the game plan that was put in front of him.
I thought he also did a much better job of escaping, throwing on the run. They did a better job of getting him into the run action pass game and on the edge. Those things I really liked. Here's the thing is, like, that's what his game is. He was efficient at what his game is. Like, he's never going to be, you know, Peyton Manning. He's never going to be John Elway. He's never going to be Drew Brees. I thought he played well, to be quite honest with you. Let's put it this way. If the special teams are an abject failure, both in coaching decision and in execution, Denver wins the game, and we're probably singing a different tune. So I think that as a fan base, you tend to look at the result of the game and then immediately look at the quarterback and say, well, he should have played better. And the problem is that the result does not tell the story of the way that Russell played. I thought that he played a really solid game, and I was much happier with the overall game plan and structure of the offense than what I saw a year ago. Because to me, it was putting Russell in a position to succeed based on his skill set, which we did not see a year ago. So from that standpoint, I thought there was a lot of positives. And if you don't have an onside kick, which, by the way, he's got all this equity, speaking of Sean Payton, because of what happened in the Super Bowl. But, like, you can't do that, man. Like, you don't have a team with an explosive offense. If you've got an explosive offense that you know can score 21 or more, 24 or more, then go ahead and take a chance with the opening kickoff. But there is no way that he could have expected that his offense was going to be explosive, per se. Therefore, you don't have that eraser of mistakes. Okay, great offense is an eraser of defensive mistakes and special teams mistakes. If you don't know that you have that or not, you can't have an onside kick on the opening kickoff and give the team a short field. I hated it. Everyone that thinks it's like, oh, it's great, it's bold, it's aggressive. Baloney. Baloney. In the Super Bowl, he had Drew Brees, which is an eraser of mistakes. Okay, he was also playing with house money because nobody expected them to win that game over Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. That was a failure of a decision and a guy that was trying to make too much of his first game as a head coach, and then obviously the kicking issues, that's what cost Denver the game.
All right, so as a Bronco fan, which you are, another loss to the Raiders, 7 in a row, a 17-16 game. Boy, we've seen that before. So coming out of the game, I asked this question to all of our listeners. I'll ask it to you. Do you come out of the game feeling like same old Broncos, or do you feel optimistic about where this season could go?
I'm more optimistic. Like I said, I like the style of the offense. I think I'm most concerned with what Mark brought up before I came on, which is the fact that they didn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That's going to make it hard to get off the field on third down moving forward, and this is a third down league. Really comes down to how do you play on third down, how do you play in 2 minutes. That's where this league is won and lost if you talk with coaches. And in that area, am I concerned? Yeah, maybe. But I'm way, way more optimistic than I was last year about this team. And I certainly feel like that game, which was basically won outside of a coaching decision and a kicker, it's like he cannot make that decision, and you would hope that the kicking game improves, and I think that it will.
Let's go back. I want to finish where we started with CU. Dion, you're calling, what, Penn State, Illinois on Saturday,
yeah.
Big noon kickoff game?
Yeah.
But yet Big
I'm
Noon.
I'm going to be in Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah, so Big Noon kickoff's going to be here again. It's never happened. This has never happened at Fox. What
yeah, went, we have never split the show.
What
We've
went
never
into the
sent
de-
them someone?
Yeah, what went into the decision?
Are. 8 million viewers, Mike,
yeah.
Went into the decision. I mean, it's remarkable. I see it on the numbers on my podcast. By the way, wherever you get your podcast, Joel Klatt Show. It's also on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe, like the show. It's going to be great. I see it with the numbers on my show. I'm sure you guys see it. You guys can talk Colorado in the middle of a Denver Broncos season, and people not only don't mind, but they are engaged and actively listening. You look at the way the paper covers this team, the way the viewers are reacting nationally, the way the general sports fan is reacting nationally. This is a phenomenon. One of the greatest athletes of the 21st century, 20th century, is now a coach and doing it really well on a team that was 1-11, lost their 7 ranked opponents by 36, and he's 2-0 and ranked 18th in the country. We've never seen this before. I don't think we'll ever see it again. They've got 86 new players, and everybody is just wondering about what's going to happen next. That's why our studio show is going back this week. Going to be on the, I mean, listen, Colorado's playing Colorado State. They're favored by, what is it, 26, 28? Against Colorado State, which is Colorado State is bad. They're just a bad, they're terrible. I'm sorry. Whatever, Rams. Like, hate me, you know, pound sand. And game day and Big Noon kickoff are going to be there. I mean, Tennessee plays Florida this week. That's a huge game. You know, like, this is a phenomenon we'll never see again. We'll never see again. And let's hope that Buffs fans around the country and around the world that we can galvanize from a financial standpoint to give the resources to the program, both in terms of the collective and NIL, as well as just the program in general, to not only keep assistants, but keep Dion and then keep acquiring talent, because this thing's going to the moon now. If they've got the resources, I'll just put it to you like this. I can throw out, you know, like numbers. If you gave the collective at Colorado the same budget that Ole Miss has for their collective, Colorado would pull in a top 10, 5 recruiting class / transfer portal class, and they would compete to go to the playoff next season. If not, you know, if they don't this season. Now, this season is a 4-team playoff. Next year is a 12-team playoff. You gave me a very simple question. I'm giving you a really long answer. This thing can go to the moon, and we've never seen it before, and that's why everyone is so interested. If he gets the resources to not only stay but acquire talent, Colorado's going to the playoff in the near future.
Joel, I've got a solution for you.
come to Big Noon Cookoff, you and Gus, enjoy the and then a remote broadcast. That way you don't have to go to Illinois. That's a good solution.
I love that.
Blame it on COVID.
Yeah, do it like the COVID days. Yeah. Just broadcast from the CU press box. Man. Yeah, do it remotely.
Dude, did you know during the COVID days, I flew right through it with a stupid diaper on my face? What are we doing?
This from the guy who's terrified of cotton balls.
Yeah. And germs. Joel, thanks, buddy.
By the way, stop selling CSU short. CU's only a 23-point favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's going to be such a close game.
By the way, you can also check out King of Media, Joel Klatt. He is on with Charles Johnson, right? You did an appearance on CJ's podcast, right?
Yeah.
Black and Gold Weekly, which you can check out at denversports.com. So, yeah, Joel Klatt everywhere. Thank you, Joel.
Love you guys. Bye.
All right, Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons, each and every week with us. So, he just told CSU fans to pound sand. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm sorry, CSU. Believe me, I root for you. No, I want you to do well. I really do.
No,
but right now, no, I do not.
Shanahan's.
No, I do not. I'm listening. But right now, you're just
hate you.
Sorry, you're just
hated it.
You're just cannon fodder right now. Just accept it, and
you're
maybe,
done. Get that.
Maybe your day will come around sometime in the future, but it is not going to be
rainforest. That sounds wet.
Saturday. As always, a lot to unpack with Joel. We'll do that next.
We need a break from the stress. Relax in your tub or shower from Bathfitter. Everyone in your home can trust Bathfitter's locally owned, 38 plus years of experience. Special financing available. No money down. No payments for up to 5 years. Visit bathfitter.com for an honest, down to the penny estimate you can trust.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' big story of the day.
Why, sister, you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big, huge.
Hey, look, Mark, I appreciate how passionate and how informative and how analytical and how much you've studied the tape to make your case that Russell Wilson played a good game on Sunday. And then Joel Klatt, you know, I always respect the quarterback's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and said he thought Russ played a good game on Sunday.
We had Terrell Davis say the same thing.
Terrell Davis said the same thing.
All the people that are educated say the same thing. And yet the rest of you see something different.
But they scored 16 points. See, here's the difference then.
Yeah.
You guys that played the game, you get all caught up in, well, you know, if you look at the film and if you look a little bit deeper and if you look at some of the things that we set up,
yes,
we're going to be able to build on this. That's the classic player mentality. Uh-huh. That's the way you have to think. But we as fans have the opportunity to sit back and look at it a lot more black and white. And at the end of the day, it's 16 points.
As the former players, we got all caught up in facts.
No. It's a different kind of fact, though. It's a different kind of facts because you are conditioned to look at it as, hey, it's just one game out of 17. We got another game coming up this week. We're going to go back and look at the film. We're going to make some changes, work on some things, and we're going to come out and be better in week two. It's all about getting better. But we, as fans, have the benefit of sitting back saying, man, that kind of looked a lot like what we've watched around here for the last few years. And why should we be excited about what you and Joel and TD saw?
Do you guys walk through the neighborhood and you see a construction site? And you've never actually done construction work, and they're maybe pouring a foundation, and you're like, well, that looks like a mistake. I wouldn't pour a foundation that way.
All right.
I'd back the truck in a different way.
No. Let's do a different analogy.
Okay, good.
Let's just say I'm walking by a neighborhood that's been condemned because of poor construction.
Okay.
Buildings have collapsed and all that kind of thing, right? Meanwhile, I see a new house being built right next to that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be skeptical about the kind of craftsmanship that is going into the building of that house?
Sure.
Right?
Do you know the craftsman that's going into the building of that house? Can you tell?
I don't. Uh-huh. No, I don't. No, you're right. I don't necessarily know if it's the same people that built Right. The condemned neighborhood, or if they're a complete, but the fact is, it's being built next to that one. And I can't get out of my mind, right, and out of my eyes, what that other neighborhood looks like.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Is that you not knowing it and going past on the past, right? You're like, oh, I'm concerned. You should be. I get that. That's completely okay. But then when the city inspector comes in and said, yeah, this is perfect construction, it's really, they're really building this the right way, you're like, nah, I don't believe it. I don't believe the inspector who gets paid to inspect and actually knows what he's looking at. I'm going to trust my eyes and the other neighborhood that I saw over there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's human nature.
Sure. Sure. But, you know, I mean,
because there's going to be a part of me that's also going to be like, well, somebody had to sign off on that other neighborhood.
Yeah.
And who knows if this inspector is any better. So, yes, I'm calling in to question your evaluating skills.
Do you watch and Joel's evaluating
and Joel's
skills?
Yeah, I am.
And TD's. Do you watch like these Law and Order type shows, like a trial?
Oh, love those things. Yeah. Love those trial shows.
Yeah. And then you're just like, you get done watching one and go, man, I could be a great trial lawyer. Yeah. I watched three trial shows today. Give me a courtroom. Yeah. Where's a courtroom?
What was a movie I saw recently? I came across it and, you know, it's one of those movies that if it could be like 30 minutes into it and you pick it up and you watch it right to the end.
Yeah. There's a lot of those.
There are a lot of those. Oh, this one was the one with,
yes,
Al Pacino's the devil. Keanu Reeves, Devil's Advocate.
Really?
You don't remember that one?
I do remember, but I don't remember.
Reeves plays a, I love Keanu, but man, not a great actor. He plays a Southern lawyer. That's Foghorn Leghorn. Oh. Okay. Keanu trying to do a Southern accent was, but it's just, it's one of those, movies, mm-hmm, that, I don't know why, how did I get on that?
I don't know.
Now it's spread. Your punchiness has spread to me now. Where was I going with that?
I have no idea.
Johnny, do you know?
No, Johnny wasn't listening. Yeah, he's busy.
Seriously, I have no idea where I was going with that.
Mm. Well, I know. You were defending yourself and D-Mac and the rest of the Bronco fans who are just like, this was awful. I just had to throw you in there. You were irritating me.
I'm irritating you.
So if that's the case, therefore, I have to put your number one nemesis against you. Pit him against you.
I guess I got to ask. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
What are we talking about?
New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody now about music.
All right, we've got a giveaway. We've got another one of our great fan war rooms going on at Brothers Barbecue at I-25 in Arapaho. I really recommend you stop by there for lunch. They have great, great food. I highly recommend the Hot Links.
Yes.
Big Hot Links fan.
I love their Thursday because they have beef ribs.
Ooh, yeah.
Those are like brontosaurus ribs.
Everything is good.
Delicious.
Okay, everything is good. But
I love ribs.
Stop on by. You'll see a live broadcast, the Fan War Room. We're going to have Stoke, Zach, Nate Jackson, James Merrillat, No Sean Moreno, Cecil Lammy. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great opinions. Could end up in a brawl, and we invite you to witness it all at I-25 in Arapaho, Brothers Barbecue, tomorrow between noon and 2. Right now, we want to give you a chance to win a $50 gift card to Brothers Barbecue. We'll take caller number 4.
What's the number?
303. Okay. You can't win. Don't call him. You got Johnny Fever one time on this. 303-713-1043. He's watching you. 303-713-1043. Caller 4 wins. Good luck.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
We get a winner, Johnny? We got a winner? By the way, Johnny's been taking your recommendations still, and he's going to be running the Players Club, so you can continue to text these in during their show. We're taking your recommendations, your nominations for Dion's song. All the coaches in town have their own songs that play in the background whenever they speak.
That is correct.
So we like we just did, and they're always based on your recommendations, the listeners. And then we take the most popular ones, and then we'll vote on those tomorrow during the show. Johnny will take the four or five best ones, or not best ones, most popular nominations, and then we'll play them tomorrow. We'll vote, and that'll be the... That's how we came up with Sean Payton's No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, that was you guys.
Yeah, that was all you. We changed the Michael Malone one. It's now... Which one? It's the Beastie Boys. Which one did we go with? It's
like No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah, because he just had that. He looked like the lost Beastie Boy
during the parade.
Yeah.
Had the too big hat on.
That's right.
Over his head.
Yeah. Looked like he borrowed one of your hats.
Yes. Yes.
Slipped down over his eyes.
Yes.
He just needed some change.
He looked like an older white rapper from the 80s.
Yes.
Like the Beastie Boys.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
Speaking of which, you see NSYNC together yesterday at the VMAs?
No.
MTV Music Awards?
I did not see that. Bye, bye, bye.
Guess who cleaned up yesterday? Taylor.
Did you hear?
I did. That can't be true. Tell me that's not true.
That, you know, she blew off Travis Kelce, went to her concert, tried to get, like...
Friendship.
Backstage.
Was it a friendship bracelet you wanted to
give? Yeah, he wanted to give her a friendship bracelet.
Jabroni!
It was like it was sent a note. It said, "Dear Taylor, will you go with me? Check yes or check no." You know, it was one of those things.
Is that still done, by the way?
I don't know. Then you're going with him? I don't even know what that means.
I know.
Will you go with me?
All you parents out there of middle school kids, are they still doing that? The whole passing notes to each other? Will you go with me? Check yes or no?
But anyhow,
in that Mark Schlereth now handwriting.
Now, all of a sudden, apparently, Taylor Swift and you know what the kids say nowadays? They're just hanging out. I don't know what hanging out is a code for, but I know it's
that can't be true.
Bow chicka bow.
Tell me that's just no good. A vicious Hollywood rumor.
No, they're he and Taylor Swift. It'll be good for her career. Hang out with Travis Kelce. Because there's no way she's going to hook up with long-term with that idiot. So, right? No offense. I mean, just...
Something tells me that Travis needs her a lot more than she needs him.
No, what I'm saying, no, she needs him more than he needs her. I mean, she will dump him because he'll do something stupid.
Oh, and it'll lead to another great album.
Oh, it'll be a whole album.
Yes, you're right.
Oh. All kinds of Kansas City references in there.
Yes! You know what? Now I'm rooting for it.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for these two kids to make it.
Right. I cannot wait until they actually,
That's a great point. Yeah. We should all be rooting for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift so that when he does something stupid and they break up, a whole album will be written about him.
Exactly.
What? Oh, I love it.
Right.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you're right.
Makes me want to puke.
Yeah, there'll be Kansas City references. There'll be Chief references.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Yes.
You're onto something. This is better than your building a house analogy.
It'll be like, there'll be a song called Tight Ends, Loose Morals. Right? All right.
How do you come up with this stuff? Seriously, how do you come up with this stuff? Mark on the text line, you can speak all the truth you want, but we Bronco fans don't want to hear it. 0-1 with a loss to the Raiders at home. We are sick of being told to be hopeful for the future.
I get that.
I
do get that.
He's got a point.
I do get that. I'm not going to ignore the fact that you're hurting right now. You're hurting.
Hey, Peyton himself, Sean, said this back during when he was getting ready to be a hypocrite and talk about anonymous donors.
Uh-huh.
He said,
and he went non-anonymous.
But he said, "Hey, look, we're just going to keep a low profile this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us to start winning games in the fall.
Yes,
and that's when people can believe in us." So, all right, Sean, we'll take you on your word for that one.
Non-ominous, 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 non-ominous.
Well, since I've lost complete control of the show,
Tight Ends, Loose Morals.
I like that one.
That's a great title, right?
Hey, everybody. Taylor Swift is getting ready to drop her new single.
Tight Ends and Loose Morals.
Will that be a pop song, or will she go back to her country roots for that one?
No, I think that'll be more. I think it'll have more of a pop influence.
Yeah. All right.
We have to come up with it. We have to come up with a line. We might have to make a video about this relationship. Can't wait till they break up. They're not even going out yet, but I can't wait till they're
No. I root for them to get together.
Yes.
And I can't.
The news
wait
is
for the
they're hanging out.
Oh,
I cannot wait till they're together.
Oh yeah.
So that Travis can do something dumb.
Yep.
And she can dump him and then start an album.
Yes.
The album's called Tight Ends, Loose Morals.
Oh, I like that. Uh-oh, I still got a couple minutes left. How am I going to? Okay. Here you go. Here, this one's for you, Mark.
Okay.
Oh, Johnny, I want to play something.
Oh,
here we go.
Johnny,
boot him up. There you go.
Tatar looking for Hughes. Tatar still shoveling at it. Tatar to the high slot. Devils keep it moving. Tatar, he rips. It comes back. It scores. Tomas Tatar.
Tomas Tatar.
Here you go. Squirrel. Have fun with that.
I love Tatar. Always have, always will.
So there was that one, Tomas Tatar.
We used to go to the Coug.
The Coug?
The Coug.
What's the Coug?
The Coug.
Is that like C-O-U-G?
Yeah,
the Coug?
was a Washington State bar.
Okay.
So at University of Idaho, they would never let you drink in the bars during football season.
You as players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had to go away from where the coaches would potentially catch.
So you're looking to circumvent the rules.
Yeah, so we took the eight mile drive to Washington State and tipped a few back at the Coug.
The Coug.
And they served fries. They didn't have ketchup. They had tartar sauce. Fries and tartar at the Coug.
Is tartar sauce better, or in this case now, tartar sauce, is tartar sauce better with actual fish or with the chips?
The fries being the chips?
The fries being the chips.
That's the thing about tartar sauce. You can put it on anything.
See, I don't. Yes, you can. Like, would you put tartar sauce on a? See, from this point forward, I'm just calling it tartar.
Yeah, it's tartar.
Do you put tartar sauce on like burgers?
I don't. But
like, could you? How?
Like, how, where is the cutoff? For,
like, how multi? Like, how versatile is tartar sauce?
Really, between other than fish and chips, where else does tartar sauce come into play? You dip crab in tartar sauce? I don't know that tartar, like as good as tartar sauce is, where else do you use it?
I don't know. Is it being underutilized? That's my question. Is there a whole other
food realm we're not even thinking about?
Is it being underutilized?
It could be the most underutilized of all sauces. Where ketchup is probably the most overused.
Oh,
like people who put
ketchup
on steak.
Oh.
Those people shouldn't be allowed to eat steak.
You're right.
They should be automatically made to be vegetarian.
The only thing worse than putting ketchup on steak is ketchup on eggs. I'm sorry. We can't be friends if you do that. No.
I like ketchup.
Then we can only
scrambled eggs.
Oh, no. Well, of course you're not going to put it on fried eggs, but people that put it on, my dad put it on. And that was a bone of contention between the two of us. We didn't speak to each other for years.
I got to think about this. Boomstick.
My cabbage!
Get me out.
All right. We got through it. Amazing. I don't know. Right, Fever? There were probably about eight moments during this show.
Hey, guys, let me tell you about my French transfer.
We are not going to get out. Oh, Boomstick.
Oh, boomstick, yeah. I forgot.
Sorry. Players
Club. You think I'll sign your house?
Players Club next.
When you've lost your patience and you need a break from the course, Bath Fitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like your tea time, Bath Fitter is in your corner offering watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take an accurate measurement of your tub or shower and recommend products that fit your budget. Bath Fitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a hole-in-one. Visit bathfitter.com to book your free in-home consultation. Bath Fitter, it just fits.